3, the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect? It's not reject, it's neglect. I think we covered that a couple weeks ago. That's talking to us. We have a responsibility. You know, it is crazy. It's absolutely crazy to think that God would save you and then that God would tell you you can just live any way you want to live. You can do anything you want to do and it'll be okay. That is not what the Bible teaches. Your life has been bought with a price. And you have a responsibility. God deals with us. He always deals with us as being responsible people. Are you with me? In other words, he tells you something. You are responsible for that. Are we okay with that? And so he says, I think it was Pink said, this salvation is so wondrous, its greatness cannot be expressed. And I would have to say amen to that. The longer I'm saved, the more amazed I am that the Lord would do what he did for me and continues to do for me. And I am really looking forward to the next stage. Amen. I mean, to be in heaven with him. But listen to me, guys. This is the one opportunity in eternity that you get to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're never going to get another shot at it. And it's by faith. Has to be by faith. So he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now, I'm going to pick up in verse number 4. I think this is where I left off. OK, now it says there, God also bearing them witness. In chapter number 3, as our Lord was on the earth, he preached the gospel. In chapter number 4, you have the apostles that walked with the Lord. They are preaching the gospel. And verse 4 says, God also bearing them witness. How? Both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. So the Lord God bears witness. He bore witness to the apostles just as he bore witness to Christ. Let me give you some illustrations. Let's go to the Gospel of John. Let's do this. Charity, John chapter 14, verse 11. Dan, John chapter 5, verse 36. Miss Steph, John chapter 10, verses 37 through 38. And Daniel, Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Go ahead. Nice and loud, Charity.
Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the favor.
In other words, what's he saying? When the Lord was on the earth, what's he saying? Check out my works, and my works prove that I'm the Son of God. Are we okay? So the message I have is a message from God. Chapter 5, verse 36, Dan.
But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same work that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me.
Doesn't it amaze you that so many people doubted the Lord when he was walking the face of the earth? I mean, he raised the dead. He healed. He cleansed lepers. He gave sight to the blind. I'm not sure that they saw that on a regular basis. Then the Jews had the Bible, and all of that was prophesied in the Word of God. And yet they still didn't believe. And so you have people today that would say, well, if I saw the miracle, I would believe. Look at me. That's not true. They have the Word of God. Remember, what's his name went to hell and he said, send somebody. As somebody went to hell and they said, no, if he won't believe the gospel, he wouldn't believe that somebody rose from the dead. Yeah. Same deal. Miss Steph, John chapter 10, verse 37 and 38.
If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him.
Acts chapter 2, verse 22, Daniel.
You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know.
Okay, so the point I'm trying to get to you is the obvious witness that the Lord God of heaven bore in relation to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the miracles that Jesus Christ performed. Are you all with me? Okay, so those miracles show that Christ was approved of God. Kevin, look up John 3 and verse 2 for me, would you please? Nicodemus even testified that nobody could do these works except what? Except he was the Son of God. John 3, 2, Kev.
The same came to Jesus by the night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.
Amen. Y'all with me? Okay, go to John. Let's all go to John 9. Let's pick up in verse number 1 of John 9. The Bible says, and as Jesus passed by, saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day, that the night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. So what's the Lord doing? He's proven that he's God by his miracles. Are you with me? What was the main reason that God would use the Lord Jesus Christ to perform all those miracles? It's that people would believe. Look at verses 35 in John chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, that's talking about the guy that got his sight, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. So the purpose of the miracles is that people would believe. And here, that purpose was accomplished because the blind man believed. Are y'all with me? Okay, John, let's look at John chapter 20. I want to ask you a question. If somebody in our society in America started claiming that they had the power to perform miracles, what do you think the first thing they would do is? Go ahead. Oh, now you're talking about a genuine Christian. They'd get a TV show, right? And they'd start making tons of money and talking about what? How great they were. That's not the purpose of miracles. It's that people would believe. John chapter 20, verse 30. Well, listen, in good churches, why do they preach the Bible? Okay, every one of you that's sitting here this morning, you profess to be saved. So you have believed on the Lord as your Savior. So you are saved and going to heaven, correct? Okay, why should a pastor preach the Word of God to you? Huh? That you would believe, but that you would grow in what? The grace and the knowledge and faith. Because without faith, it's what? It's impossible. Faith cometh by hearing. You ever talk to somebody that's been out of church for a while? I have. You know what they talk like? Talk like a heathen. They sit in front of the television. They play on the internet all the time. They have no Bible. They have no preaching. They have no fellowship with God's people. So their whole mindset is what? It's of the world. It's not from the Word of God. You people get into conversations with relatives, friends that are not living. They think you're from outer space. Why? Because your thinking is based on what you've been taught and believe in the Word of God. You with me? It affects all kinds of areas of our life.
Yes, sir.
I could do it. I'm not going to illustrate. John, look at verse 30. I'm in John 20 and verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might what? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So the apostles are those that heard our Lord, and the apostles are given miraculous powers so that as a witness or as a testimony that they're preaching the gospel, that people would do what? They would believe.
Amen.
They would get saved. Let's see, Tim, did I give you a verse yet? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. You understand there's apostolic signs. Y'all understand that? Corinthians talks about it. The book of Acts talks about it. They were supernatural signs that the apostles that walked with the Lord, that they performed. Why? So people would believe the message that they had. Now, do we have those signs today? Well, we don't. What do we have? We have the Word of God.
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Your faith is not going to be increased by apostolic signs. Your faith is going to be increased by believing. If you believe something, what will you do? You'll practice it. You'll do it. Is that not correct? Listen, that night I got saved, I believed the Bible said I was going to hell. That Bible said that if I would receive Christ, he'd give me the free gift of eternal life. And I did. And he did what he said he was going to do. I didn't need an apostolic sign. I had the Bible. Now, in 40 whatever years, my faith has grown. Why? Because of the Bible. Guys, we can't leave that book alone. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how mature you think you are. I don't care how smart you think you are. You need that book every day. We would not think about going months without eating. But folks go months without going to church, without reading their Bible. And they say, what? I'm a good Christian. That is not true. So go ahead, Tim. 2 Corinthians 12:12.
Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds.
So do you understand why we do not have apostolic signs today? Because we have the Word of God. Are you all with me? If they won't believe the Bible, they would not believe miracles. Okay? And God has designed it that way. And so today, okay, there's all kinds of wacko things going on out there. How is it that we as God's children figure out whether something is true or false, right or wrong? The book. Go with me. Everybody go with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:21. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. You go to an average American today that's been raised up with TV and public schools and all like that, and you go to them and you ask them, what do you think about gay people? And what would they say? Well, you know, I might not be gay, but if they want to be gay, that's okay. Right? Is that the right thought process? What do you think about gay people? I think they're an abomination to the Lord. I think they're going to hell, and I think they need to get saved.
Amen.
And that's based on what? It's based on what the Word of God says.
Amen.
What do you think about this woke stuff that's going throughout? I mean, you guys work with people that they're all pro that. Is that not true?
Yes, sir.
Haven't you had classes, Dan, on?
Every year.
What do they call those classes? Share it. Tell me something.
Prevention training.
You probably go through classes at the hospital, right? Wow. We need to have a tolerance class for them to tolerate us. It's crazy. But what's happening? God's people are not in their book. God's people are not getting sound preaching, and they are drifting away from the word, and they're getting the worldly culture and the worldly thought process in them. I take my wife to a breakfast place once in a while. We met the owner. The owner is a Mennonite lady. That Mennonite lady dresses modestly. Can I put it that way? Okay, as we have been going, this Mennonite lady has daughters who work there. And I won't try to be as politically correct as I know how to be, but these girls are large. We go in there to eat. This is a Mennonite place. They are in tank tops and shorts. And they got everything hanging out that should be hidden. You know what my wife said? Mike, I don't want to come back here.
Amen.
That disturbed her.
Yeah.
And me, listen, a obese woman with everything hanging out, that does not turn me on, okay? If I was that fat, I would cover up.
Amen.
Now, people would say, you're fat shaming. Yeah, well, I've done that my whole life.
Amen.
When we were in grade school, the chubby guys, you know.
Yeah.
We busted on them. They busted on me.
Amen.
Do you know why they busted on me? Because I was so skinny and I was so small. They said, Kenan, you shouldn't be in eighth grade. You should be in fourth grade. I still haven't recovered. Are you all with me?
Amen.
Words. Okay, so the apostolic sign, God doesn't use that. I'm in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Bethy, would you read that nice and loud for me?
Prove all things, hold fast that which is
good. Okay, so how do you prove it? Check it in the book. Well, so-and-so believes this. Okay, that's wonderful, okay? But you are going to be held accountable, so you better check it in the book to make sure so what so-and-so says matches up with, guys, that's why we bring our Bibles to church.
Amen.
That's why you're supposed to read your Bible.
Amen.
So prove all things, hold fast. So I'm back in Hebrews 2. God also bearing them witness with signs, verse 4, and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So the spiritual gifts, and they're listed there in 1 Corinthians 12, they confirmed the Lord's word through the apostles to us. Okay, how was the Old Testament word confirmed? Look at chapter 2, verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How was the law confirmed? By penalties, by judgment. Are you with me? Buddy, you broke the law. So in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, it talks about the gospel of the grace of God. Look up Acts 20, 24 for me. In every dispensation that we believe the Bible is dispensationally taught, every dispensation starts with miracles. Go ahead. Acts 20, verse 24. Guys, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but one of the main things you and I should do as Christians is try to get that gospel out. Where we live, where we work,
Amen.
In our towns, and around the world.
Amen.
God has chosen to use you and I as his witnesses. He could have chosen angels. He could have done however he wanted, but he chose to use us. So we have the responsibility to get the gospel out. Now, you know, I believe any saved person that is not involved in worldwide missions is not right with the Lord. And I don't know what it did for you with having Brother Dubish and Brother Enosh here, but buddy, it sure blessed my heart. You know, sometimes, guys, you know, the circumstances of life, and you guys are out witnessing, you're knocking on doors, people are telling you they're going to make you eat the invitation or eat the, you know, the whole nine, and, you know, you invite people out, they tell you they're going to come, they don't come. That is discouraging. I understand that. But then you get in a day and have Enosh and Dubish with us. Holy Toledo. And I'm sure Pastor Matt will tell you this, but I had the privilege to write a check for $15,000 and send it to Brother Enosh. Amen. There's another 100, Caleb, there's another 100 audio Bibles that they will go out in the wilderness of India and pass those things out. Those people put lanyards around them. They carry them with them all the time. And they're playing the, it's only got the Word of God on it. And they gave testimony of people who got saved. And we saw pictures of some. And we got to get involved in that by putting some money in a plate. And then there's 60 some missionaries you send money to every single month around the world. Only heaven will reveal. What greater thing could we do in this life than be involved in a sinner getting saved? I'm telling you, one of the greatest things that you and I can do in life is lead somebody to the Lord or be influential in that somebody coming to know the Lord. Amen. We shouldn't lose the wonder of that, guys. Our flesh would rather get the worldly entertainments, the amusements, the vacations. But I'm telling you, things of God are way more important than that.
Amen.
Way more important. So every dispensation, I'm just going to run through this real quick. Okay, the first dispensation was innocence. What was the miracle? This is an easy one. Creation. Let there be, and there was. I'd say that's a miracle.
Yeah.
Then you have conscience. That's when the Lord puts the cherubims with the flaming sword in Genesis 3 and protects them from eating the tree of life. The third was the human government. That's the flood. I'd say that's pretty miraculous. Has anybody here ever visited that ark down in Kentucky or wherever it is? You have? Praise the Lord. What'd you think of it?
Immense.
It's immense. Is it not true that the dimensions of that ark in Kentucky are the dimensions of the ark in the Bible?
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, they measured in cubits, and sometimes cubits are a little bit different. But I've talked to several people that have been there, and what their first thoughts are is the awe of the size of that ark and the fact that Noah and then his boys built it. No Home Depot. No Saul's. It's awesome. I guess I think I'm going to take Mrs. Keenan down to see it sometime. I've heard so many good things about it. Probably better than going to Disney World, wouldn't you think?
Amen.
Or what's that other place that we go to? What's that called? Knoebels? Probably better than Comet or whatever that is. Okay, and then the promise. The Lord confused the languages in Genesis 11. The law, you had Mount Sinai, where the miracles take place there and the law was given. The church age, you have the apostolic signs. That's how the church age started. And then we have the kingdom. That'll be the last dispensation, and that's the second advent of the Lord. Now, I'm going to pick up in verse number 5. And verses 5 through 18, you could put the heading of the heir apparent. And what I'm going to do is look at verses 5 through 8, and this will be the heir has been appointed. In chapter number 1, our Lord was contrasted with the angels as the Son of God. In chapter number 2, we're going to see Christ is contrasted with the angels as the Son of Man. Verse number 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That's a good question, isn't it? Okay, let me ask you your opinion real quick. What is man? When that question comes to your mind, what's your first thought, first answer? What is man? Go ahead, Marisa. Dust. That's good. You know what I think? Worm. That God is mindful of us. Is it not amazing that God would love us while we were yet sinners? That's amazing to me. I'm sure I'm glad to be saved. Aren't you glad to be saved? I'm glad to be saved. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, I have to read this one, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Okay, so verse number 5, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. What do you think is the world to come? That would be the millennial kingdom, okay? World to come is the millennial kingdom. Who's going to run the millennial kingdom? Yes, but us too, right? I'll give you some verses on that. But it's going to be the Lord. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. But we will be ruling and reigning with him. Now, it says this. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man, and thou madest him lower? Listen, when the Lord created the earth, God made Adam. Is that not correct? And what did he do? He made Adam the head of the earth. Kingdom of heaven is how I understand it. Are y'all with me? But what did he do? He lost it. Why? Because he disobeyed God. You want to lose out on blessings? Just disobey God. You cannot have God's richest blessings in our life if we're in disobedience, if we're in rebellion. And Adam, he lost because of sin. He lost that. So let's do this. Caleb, Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. Miss Joy, Revelation 5:10. Cass, 2 Timothy 2:12. And Daniel Kiefer, Romans 8:17. These are just a few verses about us ruling and reigning with the Lord. Revelation 1:6. Who's making us kings? The Lord. I sort of like that. Don't you like that? I mean, if you had the chance to be a king or a servant, what would you pick? I have to pick king every time. 5:10, Joy. Sounds exciting, doesn't it? Cassie, 2 Timothy 2:12. Oh, now it's getting conditional. So the ruling and reigning is what? It's earned. Okay, salvation is a gift. It's given and received. But ruling and reigning with him is going to be an earned reward. Romans 8:17.
And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we
Okay, I want us all to think just for a minute. What is the greatest thing that you and I have suffered as a Christian since we got saved? Okay, I'll share a few things with you. Okay, when I first got saved and I started witnessing to my mom and dad wouldn't have anything to do with me. My dad literally told me one time, I was sitting in his family room and I was trying to witness to him, and this is what he said. He said, Michael, he said, when you walk into my house, you leave that Jesus, and he cussed, you leave that Jesus stuff outside when you come in. And this is what I said. I said, Dad, I can't do that. I said, Jesus is in my heart. I said, my heart is, the fountain is overflowing. And I said, I love you and I want you to be saved. My dad and my mom didn't talk to Nan and I after that point. Dad didn't come to the wedding and until we had Christy Joy. And it was that first grandchild that sort of broke the ice with mom and dad. And they came up to me to Bible school where I was going to Bible school, and they visited us. Now, you want to hear a real special blessing? Dad is coming up. Bucknell College was right up the street from where I went to Bible school. The weekend Dad said he was coming up was Bucknell's homecoming. Every motel within 15 miles was booked. It was. There was a little mom and pop motel 2 miles from my house. It was run by saved people. It was old. It was clean. But it was old, and it was just little rooms. And when you walked in the room, they had a track rack there, and they had a sign over the bed. If you're not married and you're a man and a woman, you can't sleep in this bed. I called my dad. I said, Dad, I have checked every motel within 15 miles. They're all booked. I said, there's a mom and dad place down the street from me. They're Christian folks. I said, it's very small. It's older. I said, but that's the best I can do. My dad went to the Holiday Inn the night that he drove up. And he walked in. He said, I got reservations for Keenan. He tried to bull his way. It didn't work. They stayed in that place. He told my mother, that Michael, he did this on purpose. And I didn't. That was the Lord. But listen to me, as a 22-year-old young man, to have your parents turn your back on you, that's a hard thing. As far as we heard Brother Enosh, he has been beaten bloody 40 times for preaching. One time, preaching in the streets, I had a man get nose to nose with me, screaming and cussing, and his spittle, he didn't spit at me. But his spittle was getting on. And that's the worst offense. I've had people cuss me out, slam the door, you know, just like you all have.
Yeah.
But really suffer? Mm. Not in America. Mm. Not like some people have. So, and I tell you, I've never missed a meal that I didn't want to miss on purpose. So it talks about if it's conditional. I want you to go with me. I just want to take a couple minutes. Go to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to rule and reign with him, but it is conditional. Galatians chapter 5. Do y'all know Cliff Taylor? I don't know if you know. His mom went to be with the Lord, okay? And Cliff's mom would say we did not lead his mom to the Lord. Cliff did, I believe. But his dad came down to visit Cliff and the kids. And that Sunday morning, his dad got saved in our church. And we got to baptize him and everything. Anyway, so there's a special relationship I had with them. Cliff sends me a text. He said, Preacher, Linda was going through Mom's Bible, and she found this card. And she was going through some kind of physical thing or something. I don't remember what it was. And back in the 80s, early 80s, middle 80s, I wrote her a card from Nan and I, and I said, Dear Mrs. Taylor, know that just wrote a note there, told her we were praying. She kept that card in her Bible all these years. I said that to say this. You and I forget things, but the Lord doesn't. And anything we do for Him, He keeps record of that. And we will give account one day. So I'm in Galatians 5. I'm talking about ruling and reigning with the Lord, being joint heirs with Christ. Let's pick up in verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, how many of y'all in your Bible have a note for an acrostic for flesh? Tim? Pete? What's F? What's L, Tim? Oh, you're looking for it. You should put it right there in Galatians chapter 5. So when you're up preaching, you can use it. L. Anybody know what L is? Dan.
Lustful.
So it's fruitless, the flesh. It's lustful, E. The enemy of the Holy Ghost. S. Sentence to death. You know what's going to happen? Listen to me. I understand the devil is our enemy, and I understand this world is wicked. But most of your problem and my problem is not the world and it's not the devil. It's this flesh. This flesh has got us into more trouble than the devil and the world combined. So when we stand before the Lord, Pete, at the judgment seat of Christ, where's the flesh going to be? In the grave. It won't even be there. We can't even turn to the Lord and go, Lord, it was my flesh. The flesh isn't even there. Are y'all with me? So it's sentenced to death. H, flesh, H. Do you have that? Hopeless. You are never going to improve that old nature. The best thing you can do with your flesh every day is sentence it to die.
Amen.
Look yourself in the mirror and say, flesh, you are not running me today. And then watch the fireworks.
Huh? Amen.
You know, for something that's dead, it sure has given me a lot of trouble.
Amen.
A lot of trouble. So, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. So that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not what? Inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to me. A lot of that judgment seat of Christ and us ruling and reigning with Christ is going to be dealt with on whether we yield it to the flesh or we walked in the Spirit. I don't understand a pastor not preaching continuously on being filled with the Holy Ghost, reckoning the old man dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. In your best state in the flesh, what are you going to produce? In your best state in the flesh. Nothing that amounts anything to God.
Amen.
Those that are in the flesh cannot please the Lord.
Amen.
I don't know about y'all, but I want to rule and reign.
Amen.
I want to get something at the judgment seat of Christ so I can lay it at the feet of the Lord Jesus. So that when I tell Him, I love you, He says, your life has proven that you loved me. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Okay. Okay, let me move on then. Verse number 6. Let's go back to Hebrews. What time is it? Oh, man. Hebrews. Verse 5 says, for unto angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testifying, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Now, as you probably well know, that is a quote of David from Psalms and Psalm 8 and verses 4 through 6. Did it ever occur to you that God had to exalt man, Adam, to rule over his creation? That's what he did. He exalted man. What do you and I deserve today? We deserve to go to hell. So wherever we're at in our Christian life, you know what the Lord has done? He's exalted us. He has lifted us up and given us the privilege to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful church members, faithful husbands, faithful wives. Are y'all with me? He's exalted us. But we ought to reflect some of that glory of the Lord in our lives. Amen? Okay. I got a whole lot, so I'll stop there. Any questions? Oh, I love it. Kristen, I do such a great job teaching.
Amen.
Nobody has any questions. I'm kidding. You know I'm kidding. Amen. Caleb, would you close in prayer for us, please? Amen. Amen.